STR podcasts are made possible through the generous donations of our listeners. To support STR today, go to str.org and click on Donate in the upper right-hand corner.
This is Brett Kunkel, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Podcast. Sam Harris, one of the notorious New Atheists, says this: faith is generally nothing more than the permission religious people give one another to believe things strongly without evidence. Of course, this is a common theme amongst atheists. Richard Dawkins states that faith is a delusion and a, quote, persistent false belief held in the face of strong contradictory evidence. Now, this is the view that most atheists have about faith. When you ask them to define faith, this is how they'll define it. Faith is believing things without evidence or something along those lines. And so that's not surprising. But what about the view of believers? Recently, I heard a Christian who works with young people say something like this. He said, providing a reason for your faith is ultimately fruitless, regardless of how logical your reasons might be. And this was the kicker. He said, faith is believing without reasons or evidence. Now, I'm not surprised at this. Of course, I'm disappointed, but not surprised, because I hear this from believers all of the time. And believers, older believers, are passing this view of faith down to younger believers. As I work with young people across the country, I hear this kind of definition of faith all of the time. And so not only do you have atheists who are mistaken in their view of faith, you've got believers who are mistaken in their view of faith. And of course, our view of faith is fundamental. And so if we get our young people off on the wrong foot from the get-go with their definition of faith, it's going to have a huge impact on their Christianity. And so the common view for believer and unbeliever is that faith is some blind, arbitrary leap in the dark that has no relationship to reason, evidence, or knowledge. Now, we live in a secular culture that kind of pounds away at Christianity, right? You got all these intellectual challenges. And so some believers, some Christians think that this view of faith protects faith. Right, because if you got rational and scientific objections to God or Jesus or the Bible, well, those objections lose their force if we retreat into the fortress of faith, right? Well, this view is gravely mistaken. Rather than securing our faith, this view undermines our faith. Number one, this view does not do justice to our human nature, which bears the image of God, right? Genesis 1 26, we're created in God's image. Part of that image means that we have a rational mind. And so as a result of being rational creatures, we look out into this world and we see all the stuff of the world, all the data out there, all our observations and our experience. And what we do as rational creatures is we try to make sense of it all. We try to put it into a coherent picture. A picture that fits with our rationality. We look for evidence and reasons to believe the things that we do. We are, by nature, evidence gatherers as we search for the truth. And so, this view of faith as blind, it doesn't sit well with our human intellect. And when we're told that we've got to choose between faith and fact, and when a young person has this kind of dilemma that they've got to choose between faith and fact, faith is often abandoned, because we're not going to sacrifice our rational mind for some blind leap in the dark, some hoping against hope, some wishful thinking. Now, in his book, The End of Faith, Sam Harris, he states this problem well. Listen to what he says. Quote, tell a devout Christian that his wife is cheating on him or that frozen yogurt can make a man invisible, and he's likely to require as much evidence as anyone else and to be persuaded only to the extent that you give it. End quote. So for an atheist like Sam Harris, who thinks that faith is by definition a blind, irrational leap, Christianity looks just completely foolish. He goes on to say this, quote, tell him, that Christian, tell him that the book he keeps by his bed was written by an invisible deity who will punish him with fire for eternity if he fails to accept its every incredible claim about the universe, and he seems to require no evidence whatsoever, end quote. Right, so here's the view from the atheist, okay, if faith is a blind leap, right, throw out your rationality, throw out knowledge, throw out evidence, throw out logic, well then, we have a problem here because we require evidence for the rest of life. So why not for faith? And so then for people who hold this view of faith, what you have to do is you have to throw out your mind, you have to throw out knowledge, you have to throw out all these things so that you can have faith. Now, thankfully, true faith, biblical faith, is not opposed to rationality, evidence, knowledge. Scripture speaks clearly on this issue. Let me just give you two passages here. In Acts chapter 17, right? You look at Acts 17 verses 2 through 4. You've got Paul, according to his custom, he's engaging Jews. He's at in a synagogue where, according to his custom, what he does on a regular basis is he reasons with them from the Scriptures. He explains. He gives evidence for Jesus. And the result we see in that passage is that some of the people are persuaded to join Paul and Silas. It says a large number of God-fearing Greeks are persuaded. So there's this direct connection in Acts 17 between reasoning, evidence, and faith. A second passage is 1 Corinthians 15. This is where Paul locks our faith into the facts of Jesus' resurrection. Right, Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. He argues that if the dead are not raised, Christ hasn't been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, Paul says, your faith is worthless. If Jesus is dead, then faith is worthless. And at the end of that section in verse 19, he says, we are of all men are most to be pitied. And so Paul actually commends a faith that's different than what atheist Harris and Dawkins commend and what many Christians commend. Paul gives us a faith that is built on evidence. It's locked into the facts. It's locked into reason and knowledge. Faith is futile for Paul when it's divorced from the fact, right? It's worthless. We should be pitied. And so the biblical view of faith is reasonable faith. And because faith has so much baggage in our culture, let me make a suggestion. At Stand to Reason, we often don't use the word faith. Instead, we use the word trust, because trust accurately communicates the biblical idea of faith. And I think the way that trust is used by normal people, it kind of helps reunite the idea that faith is connected to reason, evidence, and knowledge. And so this is what we want to do for our young people, is give them a proper understanding, an accurate understanding of biblical faith. It's trust. And now here's where I like to use an analogy to help young people see that trust is connected to our knowledge. It's not opposed to our knowledge. The Bible never sets up faith against fact or against reason or against evidence. The only thing the Bible does is it sets up faith against sight. Okay? And so I'll point to my marriage to my wife, Erin. We've been married for almost 15 years now. We started dating in September of 1995. We were engaged in January of 1997, and then we were married in June of 1997. So here's my question for young people. Was my faith or my trust in my wife, Erin, stronger in 1997 when we got engaged and then we were first married? Or is it stronger now? Now, the first impulse of young people is to say, well, it's stronger now. But that's not necessarily the case, right? Doesn't it depend? It depends on something. The strength of my trust in Erin depends upon what I've come to know about her based on the evidence. So maybe Erin had me fooled while we were dating, right? She puts her best foot forward every time we're together. She misleads me to think that she's honest and loyal and trustworthy and unselfish and sacrificial and all these great things. So at that point, my confidence in her is high, and my faith in her is strong. My trust in her is strong, and that leads me to take some action, right? Walk down the aisle and tie the knot. Now, what if, hypothetically, after a few years of marriage, a completely different Erin emerges? So shortly after our wedding, I start catching her in lies. Small little lies at first, they become big lies. I discover money missing from our my wallet, from our bank account. Erin is, you know, she stops doing nice things for me. She becomes self-absorbed. What happens to my trust at that point? Well, based on the new knowledge and the new evidence that I'm gaining, it ruins my trust in her. And so, thankfully, that's not what has happened. Let me just be clear on that. Thankfully, God has given me a wonderful wife. And so through the 15 years of marriage, the evidence continues to point to Erin's excellent character. And so what I had evidence for before our marriage, that's only being confirmed after our marriage, thank God. And so the evidence of her words and her deeds confirms she's honest and loyal and sacrificial and unselfish and all those wonderful things. And so based on that, based on the evidence that I have and the knowledge that that evidence gives me, my trust in Erin grows stronger every year. And so there's this deep connection between my knowledge of Erin and my trust in Erin. In the same way, we've got to connect these things for our young people. In the same way, biblical faith is trusting in what you have good reason to believe is true. And our young people need this foundation in place. They need to see that any claims that faith is somehow opposed to reason and knowledge and evidence and science and logic and all these things, these are false. And it's that if Christianity is true, all of these other areas, these human rationality, evidence, science, these things are actually going to support the claims of Christianity. And therefore, that should give us confidence. It should give us trust. We trust in what we believe is true. And ultimately, our trust, right, that prime object of trust or faith is God himself. And so when our young people gain knowledge about God, about his existence, that we have good reason to think that he exists, and we don't simply have to say, well, because the Bible tells me so, but that there's evidence out there that God really exists, and then we have evidence of his character and his nature, this can lead a young person into a deeper walk or a deeper trust of God. This strengthens their faith. This strengthens their experience of the true and living God. And so this connection is vital for the faith of our young people. We must give our young people reasonable faith, not blind faith.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts and radio program are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.